Hey, Brock, I got Tyler.
Tyler, what's up, man? How you doing?
Brock, how you doing? I'm doing good.
Good, man, good. Thanks for hanging out, taking a little time with me. I know you guys are busy, so I always appreciate the sit-down, man.
You got it.
All right, so let's get right to it. I don't know if you know this or not, but Theory of a Dead Man, kind of a big deal. Kind of a favorite amongst the rock world. Actually, I think the music world in general. I think last time I looked, let's see, you guys had 8 top 10 hits on the mainstream rock chart, including 3 number ones: "Bad Girlfriend," "Low Life," most recently "RX," "Medicate." People like you guys. What do you think has made "Theory of a Dead Man" such a hit in the rock world? Just some Canadian boys that everyone seems to love.
Yeah, you know what? We've always been a songs band. We, from the very beginning, we never looked too cool. We couldn't figure out how to dress, so we just wrote songs in my dad's basement. And I think that's kind of always been our something that we've kind of figured out. I think that's what our main draw for fans is. They all have a favorite song.
And speaking of favorite songs, mine by far, "Santa Monica." I love all of your stuff, but that one is always I learned how to play it, at least part of it, on the guitar to impress the chicks, and I did all right with it. I got a few with them, so I appreciate it, man.
Nice. Yeah, that's RX is another kind of good little acoustic one too, if you can figure that out.
I'll have to try that one. Winter's coming up, so I'll have some downtime. I'll be able to practice that a little bit more. So let's talk about, obviously we'll get to the upcoming show. You guys are going to be in our backyard very, very soon at the Clyde Theater. But you guys have been very busy. Obviously, I think the exciting news that has been out there is that a brand new Theory of a Dead Man album is being dropped in January of 2020. Do you want to tell us a little bit about Say Nothing, what we can expect for that 7th studio album from you guys?
Yeah, it's actually coming a little bit sooner than it's interesting. All of our records have come every 3 years, and this one has been about 2 years since the last one. So we got right back in the studio and tracked it. But yeah, this one's got a lot of topical stuff, a lot of darker lyrics. I dive deep into current events on this one, so you're going to get a lot of honesty in my lyrics on this one. I think people are going to really, really enjoy our new record, "Say Nothing."
Let's talk about that and the subject matter. Obviously, "History of Violence," which is the first single on the album that you guys are letting people hear. It has a little bit darker topic matter. Obviously, it's talking about violence. It's talking about domestic abuse. You know, with you guys being around since 2001 as a band, do you feel maybe now where you're at, you're able to take some more chances with the subject matter of your music? You know, maybe some bands when they're younger think, okay, we got to write about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. But now that you guys have kind of, you know, cut your teeth in the industry and had that success, do you feel like you have a little bit more freedom with the topic matter or what you can write about?
Yeah, in hindsight, you know, it's very easy to look back and go, man, I wish I wrote these songs 10 or 15 years ago. But, you know, it's all progress for me. You know, I think that there's some definite maturity in how I write songs and lyrics. And we wouldn't be where we are today without some of the, you know, the old songs are fun and still fun to play live. But, yeah, I think that just being around as long as we have, we can kind of go, you know what, I want to write about this. And I think it's okay to write something that may be a little dark or controversial or trigger some people. And I think it's important for us to try to continue to make those steps, you know, and kind of in that direction.
Absolutely. Now with the, like I said, the latest single, "History of Violence," was there a reason maybe that you guys decided to kind of shine a light or have a song driven about domestic abuse? Obviously in the music video too, which is out now, people can watch that. And it's a pretty kind of gut-wrenching music video. It really does tell that story that you guys want to tell in the song. Was there a reason behind kind of picking that subject matter?
Well, you know, I think 10 or 15 years ago, I don't think we could have made that video or even had a song like "History of Violence," because nowadays people are so desensitized, you can kind of really just go there
and
kind of have a video saying, hey, well, let's just show something that, you know, people may be shocked by. So I, you know, once again, it's just that maturity. But yeah, I mean, I haven't personally had any kind of direct, you know, effect of anyone that I know that's been affected by domestic abuse. But I think with RX on the last record, it kind of opened the door.
Mm-hmm.
We had so many fans come to us and say how much RX helped them with, you know, people that had gone in accidents, had injuries and stuff, and ended up stuck on medication, opioids, and just couldn't get off of them.
Yeah.
And how much RX had kind of opened, shed some light on that, I guess. But so I guess it kind of opened the door for us to write songs like History of Violence and maybe go and same thing, maybe try to help some people out there, maybe open a door and help them talk to some people.
How does that feel as an artist to hear someone tell, whether it's a personal story or someone that they know share a personal story, when it's something that you wrote that you and your band members, who obviously you're very close with, you have been for a long time, how does that feel as an artist to hear feedback like that from your fans?
It's unbelievable because it's not something we really started out to do. Like when we started as a band, we just play because we thought it was fun. We enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
It became a career. I'm like, man, this is the best. But yeah, when you have the feedback like that, as much as I enjoy someone saying, hey man, you know, I love that girlfriend or et cetera. Yeah, it's just another level hearing someone saying that we really helped them with a serious matter. It's unbelievable. I can't even describe it, but it's shocking.
Yeah.
Actually.
Well, that's so cool. And I think it's great that you guys are using that platform and what you have and the reach that you have to, you know, whether it reaches one person or, you know, 100,000, you know, it's so great how music can do that. And I think we see that now in tune. Musicians as a whole, I think are learning to maybe expand and use what they have and the platform they have to raise awareness for things, and that's great. You mentioned before you started off in your dad's basement writing songs. Did you guys ever think all those years ago writing songs and horsing around and playing small shows that you guys would ever reach this level? Was that ever the end goal, or were you just having fun and you just held on for the ride at this point?
Nah, none of us ever expected it. I mean, we all had day jobs. We were just kind of doing this weekend warrior stuff. Yeah, we were playing gigs around town where the only people to show up would be like our parents, our girlfriends or something. It was, you know, and we just enjoyed it. So we have to sometimes remind ourselves, even like today, kind of look at where we are and go, man, you know what, you have to, this is it's unbelievable. So, you know, helping out people is, you know, like with songs, sometimes maybe this is just a natural progression for bands to go, man, we have such an amazing life. We're very lucky.
Yep.
Let's help out some people.
I love that. Well, and you guys are Canadians too, so you're so damn nice. I mean, you're always helping out people. I think that's just the Canadian way, to be completely honest. Well, we are so excited to have a brand new album in 2020. Real quick, you mentioned jobs. Do you remember what job you were doing there? What job did you have? Was it a crappy job when you were first starting off? Or were you like flipping burgers? What were you doing? Do you remember?
Dude, the first job I had was, no joke, was scooping horse crap stables. That was my first job.
That
seriously, it was
you look back on my first, I can share something very similar. My first job was stuffing wool for a sheep shear.
Oh man, that's crazy.
It sucked.
You actually get to shear the sheep?
I was not old enough. I was 11 years old, and since I was small, what I would do is the main shearer would finish shearing the sheep, and then I would grab that pile of wool that was once on the sheep that is now laying on the ground. I would grab that, and then I'd have to walk up this ladder with the wool in my hand and then put it in this big bag. And then to make sure that we got our money's worth with the bag, I'd have to jump into the bag full of wool and push it all down until it was full to the brim. And then we'd have to close it off and then put a new bag on.
That's amazing.
It built character.
That's unbelievable. Well, you never know, right?
That's right.
Everyone has a different story. That's crazy.
Builds character for sure. All right, so new album coming out. Very, very excited about this. 7 albums in. You know, as an artist and where you guys are at and as a band, do you kind of approach albums? Has that changed? Is it still kind of the same, like, okay, we're going to write the lyrics and then we're going to get together and put the melodies and then we're going to do drums? Or has it changed throughout the years? Do you guys find different ways to do each album, or is it still kind of the same setup for you?
That's kind of the same. The thing is a little different now. With the last 2 records we've done over in London, and it's been kind of more of an old school vibe where he tries to get us all in one room and just pushes record, and then we just play.
Oh, I love that.
Rather than, the last record we went in, we were like, so is there any guitar techs here or drum techs? Where's like the people that tune our guitars and stuff? And our producer was like, can you not, he's a Swedish guy, can you not tune the guitars yourself? We're like, oh, no, we can't. We don't need guitar tech. It was a definitely different vibe, and we loved it.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a back to reality, like, oh, wait, no, we can do this. We got it. We can tune. Oh, I love it, man. Well,
exactly.
That's good stuff. I always find it interesting, you know, because you guys are up on stage. You're playing a lot of the same songs. You know, you have the hits that you go up there, and you have the ones that you know the fans want to hear. Is there a song for you when you think back of Theory's, you know, full catalog? What's a Theory song that maybe just to you, you're like, fuck yeah, I love that song? Like, you just, whether you play it on stage or just when you're horsing around with the guys, what's maybe kind of Tyler's signature Theory song that just gets you every time?
A signature song? Well, you were mentioning Santa Monica.
Yeah.
We still play that every night, no matter where we are.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's been kind of a band favorite, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, usually in soundcheck, I go up there and I'll just start jamming one of our old riffs from, like, the other day I was jamming Crutch from Scars and Souvenirs, and when all of us are trying to figure out what the parts are.
Well, damn, that goes back
Joe,
10 years.
Joe, knows how everything goes, so he just kicks in. But
yeah, going back 10 years, sometimes you got to really dig deep into the brain there to see if the fingers still remember it. That's funny. Well, good. Well, Tyler, again, it's always a pleasure. I've had the privilege of getting to talk with you guys numerous times over the years, and we always appreciate you you taking the time. The new album coming out, Say Nothing, January 31st, 2020. Best way to kick off the new year is with new music from one of our favorites, Theory of a Dead Man. And then, of course, you are going to be at the Clyde Theater in our backyard on Tuesday, October 29th. If you got just a few minutes, I'd like to maybe go over some Canadian slang. Do you have just a couple minutes that we can do some Canadian slang and test your knowledge?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So I'm just going to say it, and we're going to see if you can tell me what it is. Sound good?
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Yeah.
First one. This one is probably easy. Loonies and toonies.
Oh, that's $1 and $2 coins.
There you go. Very good. Very good. Absolutely right. And it actually goes back all the way to 1987 when the first loony was created. Fun fact. Now you know. Poutine. Poutine.
Oh, poutine. That's fries and gravy and cheese curds, which is it's from French Canada. It's French Canadian, but man, it's so good. Oh my gosh, the best.
I know. That's the thing, is that poutine is a comfort food. They have it at the fair every year, and you just see the people eat it and then have to sit there for a while as it digests that cheese and fries and everything that is just going through the heart arteries and everything. It's fantastic. It's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. You need to lie down after eating that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Let's see. Do you know what Hang a Larry is?
No, Hang a Larry.
Hang a Larry.
Sounds like going to the bathroom. I don't know.
No, it's to take a left-hand turn. Maybe that must be from a different part of Canada.
Oh, that's right. I actually knew that. Yeah, Hang a, that's a Larry or a Roger. I've heard that before.
Yep, and there he
is. Roger.
Yep, Hang a Roger. Yep, here you, that's right below it. Hang a. Oh, see, it was in there. You just probably haven't said it in a long time. That's okay.
Yeah.
What, here, we're going to go real deep. A kerfluffle.
A kerfluffle? Wow, that's like some sort of mishap. Like, you know, some sort of fight or something like that.
Yes, that's it's a disagreement, if you will. A gentleman's disagreement. A kerfluffle.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I don't think I've ever said kerfluffle in a sentence. Two more. What is a dart?
A dart? That's a cigarette.
Yeah. All right. Nicely done. Nicely done. And the last one is a Canadian handshake.
Oh, I don't know what that is. Canadian. I should know this. I've heard it before. Canadian handshake.
Canadian,
I don't know, it's got to be like a high five or something silly.
It is something ridiculous.
What is it?
A Canadian handshake is when you put your hand in a pile of snow and then you get frisky with your lady. That's a Canadian handshake right there.
I've never heard that. That's got to be an Eastern or something.
That's something I
definitely should try.
Yeah. Every once in a while, just make sure she's ready for it. You know, you want to make sure that it's all consensual with the cold hands, of course. All right, I'm done.
Any handshake.
That's right. All right, man. Well, that is going to do it for us. Again, Tyler, thank you so much for the time, man. We appreciate it. Good luck with the rest of the tour, and we can't wait to hear the new album coming out in 2020, and we'll talk to you soon, brother.
Thanks, Brock.
All right, man. Talk Take care. Bye.
Okay. Bye.